There was a sign that is, ominous and creative and even funny as a warning that was on a laser in a physics laboratory that said this: "Don't look into laser beam with remaining eye." I'll give you a moment to think that one through if you didn't catch it all. You know, we would all be wise sometimes to listen to well-placed warnings. We're in a series entitled Running Your Incredible Race. It's a series on the book of 2 Timothy. Remember that 2 Timothy is the Apostle Paul's final letter. He is writing this letter knowing that his time of leaving this world and seeing Jesus is very soon. And so he writes this last letter to his son in the faith, a man that was his colleague in ministry, who is a pastor in Ephesus named Timothy. And he reflects in this letter on the incredible race that he had run, as well as helping Timothy with the incredible race that Timothy had yet to run. And as we have studied these words in this letter, we are learning what it is and what God wants us to know so that each of us can run our own incredible race. And so today, would you turn with me again to the book of 2 Timothy? This time, we will turn to chapter 3. And we're going to learn about living in perilous times. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll give you a moment, as usually is the case, to find it. And then would you please stand with me as I read the scriptures aloud and you follow along in your copy of God's Word, the Bible. The Apostle Paul now, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaks to Timothy and says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent," that is, out of control, "fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." Now, this is a well-placed warning that we would all do well to understand and to heed, living in perilous times. And so I'm going to preach to you on this subject: be wise, learning to live in perilous times. And let's ask the Lord, who is the giver of wisdom, to help us and to speak to us to make us wise today. Let's pray, shall we? So, Lord, even in children's worship, we talked about asking you for wisdom. And as we open this portion of Scripture, Lord, you know what you want to say from it that speaks directly to us as individuals. And we ask, Lord, that even in the times in which we live, that you would make us more wise, not just about the times, but about our individual selves. And then where we are, and ask, oh God, that your Spirit would speak to us and deal with us and reveal to us the truth, for indeed, this truth is the truth that makes people free. So God, we ask for your Spirit's help. As the preacher, I ask for your help. As a congregation and friends that have gathered with us on this day, we ask you to speak to us in a way that is an evidence of your working for Jesus' sake. And in his name we pray this. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, in this passage of Scripture, then, there are five, maybe I'll call them warnings. They could be gentle encouragements, but five warnings that God wants us to heed to be wise in perilous times. The first is this: be wise about the coming of perilous times. How many of you have ever heard this? We're living in the last days. Yeah, is it true? Well, listen to what Paul tells Timothy. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. When did the last days begin? Well, God actually tells us about this. You don't have to turn to it. You can if you want. I'm going to turn in my Bible to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, God tells us about these last days. God, verse 1 of Hebrews 1, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed the heir of all things, by whom he also made the world. When did the last days begin? The last days began when Jesus came to this earth and opened his mouth and now opened his public ministry. And do you know, they started then, and we are still in the last days. They're called the last days because in them God is completing his purposes for his people. And the Lord delayed his coming. And some, even in the early times of the New Testament, scoffed in 2 Peter chapter 3 about the Lord's not coming. And God reminded us that, wait a minute, God is going to fulfill his plan in these last days. There will be different times and different seasons in these last days. But as the time gets closer and closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus, things will become far more intense and more perilous. Now, sometimes in the Bible, in fact, most of the times in the Bible, we learn from the past so we can be wise in the present. But sometimes God, who is not bound by time, tells us about the future so we can live wisely in the present. And in this passage of Scripture, you'll notice that the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, there are coming days that are perilous days. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And I want you to be ready because it's coming. Make wise decisions now, preparing for those days. So there's the coming of perilous times. Then God gives us another gentle, encouraging warning. And that is, be wise about the characteristics of perilous times. In chapter 3, verses 2 to 5, there are 19 different descriptions of perilous times. Now, when God describes perilous times, what's interesting is this. When God describes perilous times, he does not describe in any way the economic status of the time. He doesn't describe geopolitics. When God describes perilous times, he describes the spiritual and moral state of the world in which you live. And I want to ask you this question then. Are we living in perilous times? And when you look at the Bible, let's look and compare what God says are perilous times and then ask, are we living in perilous times as God sees them and as God identifies them? Now, there are these 19 different descriptions, and of them, I'm going to place them for ease of understanding into six different categories to identify perilous times. It's how you know you're living in perilous times. The first is this: you know you're living in perilous times when selfishness is center stage. You'll notice verse 2, a word that describes this: men shall be lovers of their own selves. Verse 2, covetous, not content with what they have, but they want what somebody else has. And they want your stuff to take from you for themselves. You'll notice verse 2, another term that describes selfishness on center stage, and that is unthankful, ingratitude in this world. And then you'll notice verse 5, a word that describes people who are selfish is they're traitors. They are disloyal, and they will do anything that they need to do, and they will cut you if they have to get what they want. And they'll turn their back on you if they have to get what they want. Now, I want you to think about the world in which we live, and I want to ask you this question. And I want you to ask yourself, are we living in perilous times? Is selfishness center stage in the world in which we live? Well, then there's another category. You know you're living in perilous times when pride is prominent. And you'll notice some terms that describe the prominence of pride when you're living in perilous times. Verse 2, we're told of boasters. Verse 2, the direct term, proud. People are, verse 5, heady. And then in verse 5 as well, they're high-minded. They have an inflated view of themselves. I guess we would call somebody like this an egomaniac. And I want you to think about the world in which we live, and I'm going to ask you this question. Are we living in perilous times? Is pride prominent? Then there's a third category, beside knowing you live in perilous times when selfishness is center stage and pride is prominent. You know you live in perilous times by family breakdown. And so in verse 2, we are told this. When times are perilous, children are disobedient to parents. And then beyond that, you'll notice there's another term in this listing. You'll find it in verse 3. In our Bible, it's translated without natural affection. It means this: what is normally in normal family love between moms and dads and children and parents and siblings. But when you watch the family unit break down. Now let me ask you this. Are we living in perilous times? Then there's another way you know you're living in perilous times. You know you live in perilous times when there is increased lawlessness. And there are four characteristics that are in this list of 19. They're all found in verse 3. The world is characterized by truce breakers. People who will break a contract, who will say one thing to you when you make the sale, and then they won't follow through. They'll break their word without even thinking about it. You'll notice then verse 3, false accusers. I wonder if we have that in our legal system. Incontinent, that means people are out of control. And all you have to do is turn on the news in the last week and you have seen people out of control. And I hope you... I believe that law enforcement ought to be carried out in a way that is appropriate. But I'll tell you what, you just can't have the people out of control, and those poor officers are put in a bad situation. And it puts the rest of us in a bad situation. I hope you pray for them. And then you'll notice the next word in verse 3, fierce. So there's increased violence and cruelty. So let me ask you this, are we living in perilous times? There's a fifth category. And that is, you know you're living in perilous times when there is rejection of righteousness. There are two terms that really describe this for us. One, you'll find in verse 2, men are described in perilous times as unholy. You see, God, who is the one true God, is a God of righteousness, and He has a righteous standard and a righteous moral code. And in as the unchanging God with an unchanging moral code, there are individuals, when you are living in a society that is in perilous times, who reject God's moral code. And then the other description you'll find is in verse 3, that these ones who reject God's moral code are despisers of those that are good, so that those who hold to God's moral code are looked at as evil, and those who reject God's moral code are looked at as good. Now let me ask you this, are we living in perilous times? Then there's one final category. You know you're living in perilous times when you see religious defection. In fact, there are three different terms that describe this. Verse 2, there are those who are blasphemers. Verse 4, there are those who are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And then verse 5, those having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. There's a religious appeal, there's a religious appearance, but in reality there is a rejection of the truth. Now let me ask you this, church. You look around, and you look at the world in which we live, and you look at our day, and I'm asking you, are we living in perilous times, yes or no? We live in perilous times. Now, when you're studying your Bible, you have to be careful to interpret the Bible in light of your circumstances rather than interpret your circumstances in light of the Bible, all right? Otherwise, you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say, and you claim something to be true, and you say, well, God says, but if you haven't interpreted the Bible correctly, then you are misstating what the fact is, right? So you have to be careful of that, but church, as we look at the Bible and are honest with ourselves and honest with the words that God has put on this page, it's hard to argue that we are not doing anything except living in perilous times. So in this passage of Scripture, God warns us. He warns us about the coming of perilous times. And it is, isn't it interesting that there was a warning given back in Timothy's day for Timothy to know this is coming, and now here we are all these years later, and we can say, hey, it's true, it's come. Then there are the characteristics of living in perilous times. But then I want you to notice the third warning that God gives us, and that is the caution for perilous times. And here's the caution that God gives us. Don't let the world around you pull you in and pull you down. So God's solution is this. Look at your Bible, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now watch this. From such, what's the scripture say, church? Lift your voice. From such,
turn away.
Do you realize that the world around us is going to drag you and pull you in, and they will get you into the mud and the muck. And you're trying to run your incredible race, and you're stuck in the mud. The story is told by Glenn Cunningham in a classic piece of literature entitled Reader's Digest. And he tells of Africa's Victoria Falls, how it produces a cloud of mist that is often heavy enough to impair visibility. And he writes, while I was walking the path that skirts the gorge into which the Zambezi River tumbles, I noticed a sign on the rim but could not make it out. Not wanting to miss whatever it might be noting, I slithered and slid through the mud out to the very brink, only to read the message, danger, crumbling edge. You know, God's trying to warn us, danger. We are living in a world that is a crumbling edge, and if you're not careful, you will get caught up in it, and you will fall. It will drag you back. Now, you're running your incredible race, but you're getting pulled down and held back. So God gives us this caution for perilous times. And it may be that God is even dealing with you because you realize how this world has so caught you and so pulling you back, and it's so arrested your thinking that you're not thinking straight anymore, and you're not choosing wisely, and you didn't even realize how much you're being dragged down and pulled down until God the Spirit today is dealing with your heart, and He's bringing the truth to light to say, listen, beware. Crumbling edge. Well, in this passage then, God warns us about the coming of perilous times and the characteristics of perilous times and the caution for perilous times. But then there's another wonderful warning that God gives us, and that is the confrontation with perilous times. And so the Apostle Paul uses a current example that was going on in Timothy's life and the world in which he was living and ministering and leading. And he tells him about it and identifies what he needs to confront and what he's confronting. Now, that's wonderful for Timothy. Here's the problem we have. We don't live then. And we don't really know all that was going on. Think of somebody even 100 years from today. And think of somebody trying to understand something that's happening right now in our country, and we know what it's talking about. If somebody says, "Did you hear about such and such?" or "What do you think about such and such?" you'd say, "Oh yeah," and you could have a conversation because you know what's going on. But when we read the scriptures here, we're not told everything that's going on, so we have to surmise what was happening by what we read. And I want you to notice the current example that was going on in Timothy's life that he had to confront. There were perils in his life and in the church life that he was leading. Notice, if you will, verse 6. "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with diverse lusts." Now, what all this is, I'm not exactly sure, and I don't think really anybody can know. But here's what you can know from this. However this was working and whatever was happening and whatever the details were, you can know this, that these people that needed to be confronted were people who were manipulating and preying on the most vulnerable. Can I say that again? They were people who were manipulating and preying on the most vulnerable. Women with emotional and spiritual baggage. And these individuals were targeting these women for their own means. The most vulnerable. And then beside manipulating and preying on the most vulnerable, whoever these were that were enemies of the Lord and of the truth were people who masqueraded, pretending to be the most knowledgeable. But in reality, they were ignorant. So you read in your Bible, look if you would, verse 7, "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Here, individuals who are learning and learning, and they have all these things they're learning and all of their knowledge, but in reality, they have missed true wisdom and they have chosen not to accept the truth. Now, God is for intelligence, He is for intellect. But God is for intellect that was bound and guided by the truth of the scriptures. But I'll tell you, God is against intellectualism that makes man the measure rather than God's truth and His character the measure. Do you understand that? And this is what makes those who are deceptive, sometimes is they sound so good and they seem just so sharp and they just seem so polished and everything just seems so good. But in all of this, how many are themselves deceived because they have rejected the truth? So for Timothy, that was a current example that he had to confront. And in your life and in the day in which we live, there are always going to be those who pray and manipulate the most vulnerable and who sound so intelligent but miss the truth. So we need discernment. We need God to help us to be wise. Well, beside that then, he gives a past comparison to help us to understand. And you'll note about this past comparison in verse 8. "Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith." Now you ask when you read this, who are Jannes and Jambres? Have you ever read about Jannes and Jambres in your Bible? Don't raise your hand. Because you never read about Janice and Jambres in the Bible. And I told you not to raise your hand because I'd hate for you to say, oh, yeah. You know. Because you might have thought of somebody else, right? But you don't ever read about Janice and Jambres in the Bible. Now, who are Janice and Jambres? They are historical figures. Timothy knew about them. There's never a question about their historicity. But they are historical figures that related to Moses, but they aren't included in the Bible record. God the Spirit only included things that are necessary in the Bible record for him to communicate his will and what he was doing in the world. And so what they were doing in the Old Testament isn't revealed to us. We only know that they in some way are involved with Moses, and we only know about it from what is read here, what God tells us about here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But there are traditions and there are records of Janice and Jambres, and they're always found in the same event. You can read about a historian, Pliny. You can read about numbers of rabbis who would make commentary and write commentary in their writings on Old Testament events. And Janice and Jambres are always cited in the time when Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. And if you remember how that occasion goes, Moses comes to Pharaoh and he says to Pharaoh, let my people go. And what's Pharaoh say? No. And then God tells Moses, okay, you've got your rod. I want you to throw your rod down. And Moses did it. What happened to that rod when he threw it down? You tell me. Turned into a snake. Well, in the scriptures, you'll read that Pharaoh calls some of his magicians, astrologers, and he says, come in here, I want you to see this. And they came in, and they too take a rod, their rods, and they throw them down. And what happened to those rods? They turned into snakes. Satanic empowered activity. Now, what happened to the snakes that their rods were turned into? Do you remember? Yeah, Moses' snake gobbled them up. Now, according to tradition, who are the magicians he called in? Janice and Jambres. That's who that is. And then, remember, God said, okay, we're going to have some plagues here. And God told Moses, here's the first plague. And God gave the first plague, which was water to blood. Terrible. And then Pharaoh calls in his musicians. There's a big difference between a musician and a magician. Then again, sometimes some of these musical people, they do things that are magical. So maybe they're not so far off sometimes. Well, and what do they do? They also turn water to blood. And then there's the second plague, frogs. Frogs everywhere. And Pharaoh calls in the magicians. Tradition says Janice and Jambres. And they produced frogs as well. And then the third plague was lice. Yeah, if you've ever been through lice, you know it's a plague. But Janice and Jambres, the magicians, they couldn't do it. And listen to what the scripture says that these magicians said. Exodus chapter 8, verse 19. The magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. They knew that even in their demonic, occultic power, it could not match the power of God. So the Apostle Paul says, now, Timothy, you remember back about Janice and Jambres? Remember back when they withstood against Moses? I want you to know that in your incredible race, there is always going to be opposition. Now, I'm going to tell you, church, have you found that in your incredible race? We're in a spiritual warfare. And there's always going to be opposition. Sometimes there are people that God will send into your life that will bless your life. But I'm telling you, there are some times that Satan sends people into your life. And you're going to have to make a decision in your life. In your incredible race, you're going to have to make a decision that whenever there is opposition that is that is in the way, that is holding me back from running that race that God has for me, I will not let that opposition stay or stand in my way. I'll just keep running. I'll keep running. And it may be that there are people in your life that are such a problem, they're holding you back from your incredible race. And it may be that you're going to have to be willing to sever that relationship with that person, though it may be very difficult to do. It may break your heart. It may pull on every emotional string that you have. But if that person is holding you back from running the incredible race that God has for you, you're going to have to be willing to sever that relationship so you can run that race. Well, how do I know? How do I know that who the people are that I need to confront and the people that I need to be willing to stand against because they're getting in the way of my incredible race? Well, let me share with you some present indicators that are indicated from this look back into history. We read about this in the scriptures as well. Look at verse 8 if you would. I'll read again now. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the truth. See, here's what happens. There are people that resist the truth, and God is speaking to their heart and to their life, and God is revealing to them, and God in His mercy is drawing them by the Holy Spirit. And as God is working with them and God is drawing them to the truth and He's working in their lives, they say, well, and they hold back. No, no, no. Then as they resist, what happens is they have corrupted minds. Then their thinking gets twisted. And then when their thinking's twisted, finally they'll walk away. You know, God is working in people's lives to draw them. They don't yet know the saving power of Jesus Christ. The exchange we sang about, that His righteousness is placed on me and my sin was placed on Him, and by faith I trusted Him so that now this transaction was made and I am free. And as God is working with them and drawing them, He's working. And then when the truth is there and they see it, they hold back, resist. It gets easier for their twisted thinking and easier to reject the truth. Eternally lost when God was dealing with them and drawing them to Himself. Even those of us who know the Lord Jesus and His saving power, what happens in life is God the Spirit works with us and we resist and we say, well, no, Lord, I think I'm better off. I think I know better. Don't go there, Lord. We resist and our thinking gets twisted. And it gets easier and easier just to walk away. And we've missed the incredible race God has for us. And if you have found that there are people in your life that are like this, that are drawing you away, my friend, you're going to have to confront it and deal with it in your life if you're going to run your incredible race. Well, in this passage of Scripture, God tells us to be wise about the coming perilous times and about the characteristics of perilous times and the caution for perilous times. He tells us to be wise in the confrontation with perilous times. And then He ends this paragraph in verse 9 where God tells us to be wise with encouragement in perilous times. And you read verse 9 and look what the Bible says, because God tells us, but they, that is these false individuals who are drawing away and withstanding the work that God is doing in the world, and even those people that are in work, that are in your life, that are withstanding what God is doing. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs, that is Jannes and Jambres, was also. The encouragement is this, that in the end, the enemies of truth will fail, and God is still God. Now, how many of you feel like sometimes the enemies of the truth are winning all the time? And how many of you have ever wondered if, does God, is he really still God over all of this thing? Because sometimes it seems out of control. But God wants to remind us that even in perilous times, that God is still God. And so for your incredible race, keep your eyes on Jesus. The author of Hebrews says, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And when you're running, if you're not careful, you look around and you'll see the enemies. And if you focus on the enemies, you're going to live in defeat. But remember to keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the one who died and rose again for you. He is the one who gave his blood for you. He is the one who is coming again. He is the one who is in your encourager. He is the one who is giving you power in your race. And when your race is done, you will one day answer to him. And he will either judge or he will judge you, and he will be the one that determines what's gained and what reward and what is lost. He will be the one that will say to you, well done, or maybe in this case, well run. So you keep your eye on Jesus. And oh, my friend, aren't you glad that God, in his wonderful mercy, even in perilous times, reminds us he is still God, and he'll be faithful to you in your race. Would you stand with me, please? With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, let's pray. Now, Lord, it is it's wonderful and even somewhat bittersweet that you told us about perilous times. And even in the times of seasons of life and you're working in the world, we can say that, as you describe it, we are living in perilous times. And so, Father, we thank you that you are still God. It seems like the enemy is winning at times, but God, you are a faithful and true God. In the end, you are still God. And when we doubt, Lord, forgive us. Help us to believe you. And Lord, when we resist, help us to submit. When our thinking is twisted and it's corrupted, as the scriptures use, oh God, help us to submit our thinking to the light of the truth. And when we want to turn away, oh Lord, draw us in your mercy by your Spirit, so that each man and woman, each young person in this congregation can truly run his or her incredible race. And so, God, the Spirit, even as we now have decisions to make, as you have spoken to us, help us, O Lord, to know your amazing and sufficient power. Now, before I continue on, I just want to ask, what decision do you need to make? In some way, God is dealing with you. What decision do you need to make? Because the truth has been shared. God the Spirit now, and this is by faith, I'm trusting that he is helping you. It may be that your thinking needs to be adjusted. Your will may need surrendered. It may be that God is bringing you back from the brink and you are in the mud and you're so slowed and hindered in your race and you're going to a place that is not going to be is anything but what God's will for your life is, but now he's drawing you back. This is your time. to submit your will to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we pray that you would do a wonderful and eternal work as individuals are making decisions right now in this place, at this moment. We'll believe you to do this, Lord, because you are a faithful God, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.